a very different reality if we start to invest in an ethic of caring for all folks. And so, you know, that's what I think we really need to change. I am very fearful that the, you know, what one of my colleagues described as the bro culture, that and the seeming clawing back to a time of, you know, privilege for those who are, you know, who are male, who have power, who have resources, over the needs and the rights of everybody else is, you know, we just have to look south of the border to see how the rule of law and democracy are being just thrashed and disregarded. And as we approach the 30th anniversary of the Arbour Commission, you know, I am often reminded of what Nelson Mandela and many others have said, that if you want to judge the state of a nation, look at the state of the prisons. And if we are continuing to vilify and criminalize and incarcerate those who are most oppressed, we are likely seeing a lack of adherence to the rule of law and democracy. And I, you know, I think it's time that we turn that tide. We can, and it's folks like you who will.
Your 2022 report talks about reconciliation, which goes beyond well-intentioned but largely ineffective criminal law reform. You've already mentioned a few, withholding your governmental representatives accountable. But what concrete steps can students and the public otherwise take to help advance it?
Well, I think that's, you guys are doing it. I mean, look what you're doing. You're way more active than I was when I was in law school, and that's fabulous. I think taking leadership and insisting, voting, insisting that your voices are heard. Never, ever, ever accept when people say you don't have enough experience, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what it means to try and assist and protect the rights of others. And when folks are trying to trample those rights, you know, speak up. If for some reason you can't, I hear from lots of people who work in the prison systems. A lot of folks are surprised that a lot of the information I received comes from people working in the prisons themselves. Of course, people serving sentences, but people who are working there. And that's because they recognize that if they provide me with information, I will talk about it. I'll try to do something about it. I won't expose them, because if they're a single parent trying to make ends meet and a job working as a correctional officer helps them have a, you know, have the benefits they need, food on the table, a roof over their heads, so be it. But if they see injustice and they don't do anything about it, in, you know, whatever they can do, whether that's telling me, whether that's blowing the whistle themselves, then, you know, really shame on them. And so really it's taking action wherever you can, however you can. No action is too small. And it's really important, I think, that people be informed and not close their eyes to these injustices. Don't look away. Repeat this information. Get the word out. If you're on social media, I'm now that they're reconsidering TikToks, I may have to look at doing TikToks again. That was how many young people engaged with us, with our office. And it really is the energy and enthusiasm and incredible, brilliant intellect and energy of folks like yourselves that is, I have, you know, through our office, we have legislative interns, law students who are coming all the time. And they are who got me doing podcasts. They're who got me doing TikToks. They're who got me doing, you know, social media in ways that anybody who knows me knows, you know, not just because of my age, and but I'm a techno twit. And so, you know, the reality is that, you know, we need to get the word out as much as possible. So anybody can go to our page. There's tons of information there. You don't need my permission or the permission of anyone in our office to use that. Just pick it up, take it, spread it around. I'm not on X anymore because of some of what was happening there. So, but I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on, what am I on? Instagram.
Yep.
See, I should remember. Yeah. Anyway, all of those, take that information and use it. But yeah, keep the word going, and let us know what you're doing as well. And I hear from lots of folks inside. So those of you who are listening or are inside, thank you for writing. I apologize that I'm not often there like today, if the phone is likely ringing off the hook and I miss more calls than I get. And I wish that we had many more resources. The last senator who was focused on prison issues before I came to the Senate was Senator Earl Hastings. He died 20 years before I came, and I will continue to do this work, but it's never enough. And I apologize to everybody inside that I can't do more, but I will continue until, you know, every day to do as much as is humanly possible. So thank you to you two for doing this podcast and for all of your colleagues who will be spreading the word.
Senator Pate, thank you again for joining us today. It has been an honor to speak with you and explore these critical issues. We hope our conversation has illuminated the experiences, systemic challenges, and actionable solutions that could help transform the lives of Indigenous women in Canada.
Before we conclude, we'd like to say again that the views expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers, hosts, or the Queen's University Faculty of Law. This podcast does not contain any legal advice. Pro Bono Students Canada is a student organization. This podcast was prepared with the assistance of PBSC Queen's Law students and staff, whom we would like to thank for their time and consideration. PBSC students are not lawyers, and they are not authorized to provide legal advice. The podcast contains general discussion of legal and related issues only. If you require legal advice, please consult with a lawyer. Thank you for listening, and for more thought-provoking discussions on law and social justice, check out our other episodes at probonoradio.com.
Hey folks, welcome to Jazz Boulevard. I'm Moz Taylor. And if you can't stay for the whole program, or you want to hear it again, you'll find links to this week's podcast from our Mixcloud channel, along with playlist information on the program's website, jazzboulevard.ca. And you can become a free subscriber to our Mixcloud channel and replay all the most recent shows. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help support the musicians you hear on the program and Jazz Boulevard's production, while enjoying some premium benefits by becoming a select subscriber on Mixcloud. A number of new and recent releases to get to on the show this week. They're going to include a jazz orchestra recording from Javier Nero, a big band project from trombonist Michael Dees, and music out of the LA jazz scene from vocalist Mark Christian Miller. So hope you can stay for the whole show. We'll start it this week with some music from trombonist Noah Bless from his album New York Strong Latin Jazz. This is Canto de Osana. Thank you.
of the happiness that used to be. Soon my eyes will close, soon I'll find repose, and in dreams you're always near to me. I'll see you in my dreams, hold you in my dreams. Someone took you out of my arms, still I feel the thrill of your charms. Lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light my way tonight. I'll see you in my dreams, hold you in my dreams. Someone took you out of my arms, still I feel the thrill of your charms. Lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light my way tonight. I'll see you in my, see you in my, see you in my dreams. Thank you.
Miami. De Alto Cedro voy para Martané, llego a Puerto, voy para Miami. De Alto Cedro voy para Martané, llego a Puerto, voy para Miami.
You're listening to Jazz Boulevard. I'm Maz Taylor. A new big band recording just coming out from trombonist and composer Michael Deese from his new album, Return Trajectory. We heard a composition by one of his major influences, J.J. Johnson, called Little Dave. And that big band is formed with a core of rising voices coming out of the Michigan State University. The Buena Vista Social Club before that, from their self-titled album, Chan Chan, an ensemble of Cuban musicians formed in 1996. A new album just coming out of the LA jazz scene before that, fourth recording from vocalist Mark Christian Miller off of his album Strange Meadowland. We heard I'll See You in My Dreams with Robert Kyle on the sax, Chris Dawson on the piano, bassist Chuck Berghofer, and drummer Joe LaBarbera. And the set started with music out of the New York City jazz scene from trombonist Noah Bless, a Zoho Music release in 2020 called New York Strong Latin Jazz. We heard Canto di Osana with some solo work from pianist Mike Eckroth and bassist Boris Kozlov. We'll keep it going with some music recorded here in Montreal. This is from trumpet player Ivano Jolicoeur off his album Batiscafe. This is Shock.
Thank you. made songs of love, but not for me. A lucky stars above, but not for me. With love to lead the way, I found more clouds of gray than any Russian play could guarantee. I was a fool to fall and get that way. Hi-ho, alas, and also lack-a-day. Although I can't dismiss the memory of his kiss, I guess he's nice, not for me.
You're listening to Jazz Boulevard. I'm Moz Taylor. Latest release from trombonist, composer, arranger, and educator Javier Nero and his jazz orchestra, a 22-piece unit out of the Washington, D.C. area from the album El Cabluen. That was the title track. A guest appearance from vibraphonist Warren Wolf. Music from Toronto singer Molly Johnson before that, off of her album Messing Around, the Gershwin tune But Not For Me, Guido Basso on the flugelhorn. And the set started with music recorded here in Montreal from trumpet player Ivano Jolicoeur from his album Batiscaf. We heard his composition, Choc, with some solo work from trombonist Marc Tremblay and bassist Alan Picotte. Thank you.
said, baby, I ain't satisfactory, don't care what I do, hey, daddy, what's the matter with you? Hey, satisfactory, baby, don't care what I do. You take a mean old brown to make a woman move to town. Silver, sweet loving papa, make a mule kick a stable down.
Unknowable. Practicing his horn on the Williamsburg Bridge hour after hour. Woodshedding, the musicians called it. but his woodshed was the world. The enormous tone he borrowed from Hawkins, it could fill a club to overflowing, blown into tatters by the sea winds, teaching him humility, which he carries with him at all times, not as an amulet against the powers of animals and men that mean harm, or the lure of the marketplace. No, a quality of gaze downward on the streets of Brooklyn or Manhattan. Hold his hand and you'll see it. Hold his eyes in yours and you'll hear the wind singing through the cables of the bridge that was home. Singing through his breath, no rarer than yours, though his became the music of the world 30 years ago. How he knew the time had come to inhabit the voice of the air, and how later he decided the time had come for silence, for the world to speak any way it could. He wouldn't answer because he'd find the question pompous. He plays for money. The years pass, and like the rest of us, he ages. His hair and beard whiten, the great shoulders narrow. He's merely a man, after all. A man who stared for years into the breathy, unknowable voice of silence and captured the music.